Welcome to BrainMachineNetwork.com.
How to produce live comedy with your friend Emily. How to produce live comedy with E-M-I-L-Y Emily.
Hi, I'm Emily Winter. I'm a writer, comedian, and producer in Brooklyn, New York. I run some Time Out Critics Picks comedy shows here that I also take on the road. I also created What a Joke, which was a national anti-Trump comedy festival that raised over $50,000 for the ACLU in 2017. And I do some other stuff. It's fine. I'm very excited to have this podcast. I'm having a great time. I hope you like it. I hope you're learning stuff. Just give it a listen. Okay.
Welcome to How to Produce Live Comedy. I'm Emily Winter, and this is our mailbag episode where I am with two producers here, and we are going to go over your questions and pet peeves. This may be the last episode of How to Produce Live Comedy. I'm leaving it open. It's been such a fun series to produce and to host and to do. Oh my god, my dog right now. Okay. She's tearing apart a dog toy that Ariel Elias gave us, and that's why it sounds like we're recording this podcast in the back of a porn. If you hear weird mouth noises, it's bingo. Okay. All right. But yeah, so anyway, I think we've covered most of the live comedy stuff, except for a bunch of random little things that are just like left over. So that's why we're doing this mailbag episode. If other things come up, we might do another episode, but for the time being, this is it. You guys have sent me so much like great messages and emails and comments, and so I want to read some of those and make an episode out of it. So I would like to introduce my guest, first returning guest from the How to Host Live Comedy episode is Chris Caligero.
Hello. Ooh.
People really liked your episode. Did you know that? Did I tell you that?
You can tell me again.
I got some messages about how practical and great your hosting tips were.
Oh, thank you. That's great. That's good to hear. It's weird because hosting, it's like those tips seem so
obvious.
Simple. Yeah, when you do them and when you've learned them, but then you realize like that you did learn them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we can get into hosting in a minute after I introduce our second guest. Our second guest, so excited to have her on the podcast for the first time. She is a comedian and producer in New York City, Shelby Taylor.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having
me. So excited to have you. I was about to be like, give it up for Shelby Taylor, like I am hosting. You know what? I've been hosting so much lately, and I was just thinking about how, like, for me, the hardest part of hosting is like getting my energy up. Like, I'm so reliant on a good host to like set the mood, and then when I'm like, oh fuck, I gotta be the first happy person in this room, I have depression. Yeah,
I've got hyperactivity disorder, so it's great for me.
Do you really?
That can work for a host, though.
Yeah. It works very well for me.
You are very good at hosting.
I'm high energy, that's for sure, baby.
I think it's comforting to an audience when there's somebody's at least like it almost doesn't matter what you're talking about if you're higher energy as a host, unless you're horrendous, unless you're like bad person.
I carry myself on charisma. That's for sure.
Shelby, talk about the stuff that you work on in New York since you haven't been on the pod before.
Currently, I produce four shows. I do three monthlies and one weekly show, Weekly Bitches Brew in Brooklyn. I also do The Killing Joke, See You in Hell, and Electric Laughs, which is the newest show I just picked up. So those are three monthlies, and Brew is a weekly, and we just got into Brooklyn Comedy Festival, so we'll be doing that as a one-off too.
Congratulations.
Great show. One of the best shows in the New York.
Yeah, I appreciate
it.
Bitches Brew is such a good show.
I appreciate
it. Wonderful.
Hot Room.
Yeah, all me. No, there's three other producers, but it's a great show.
The way I thought we'd structure this show is to just, there are pages in front of both of you and me of pet peeves and some questions from comedians, but mostly pet peeves about producing and being a comedian on live shows. This isn't even all of them. There were hundreds and hundreds, and I just I tried to like say, like pick ones that were not already mentioned, but this is insane. So I figured we would go through these. You guys can read a couple. Let's have Shelby read a couple from her list, and then whichever ones you want, and then we'll discuss if we want to, and if not, then we'll go, we'll toggle between that and questions.
Okay, yeah, I'm reading some of the shorter ones right now. Yeah. And they're pretty funny how what some people chose to say,
complain about.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just noticing that too. I already read one where I'm like, okay buddy,
all right. Well, this is the thing that's interesting, is that some people's, a lot of these I agreed with, but some of them I really didn't agree with. And I yeah. just think that it's, yeah,
here's one we don't have to discuss. I kind of hate when you go to a show and there's no audience and the host cancels the show. What yeah. should we do?
Right. I put that one down because I totally disagreed with it. Yeah.
What should we do? Should we make you perform to an empty... I hate showing up to a show where there is no audience and the host makes me perform.
Yeah, I know. It yeah. feels like a hostage situation. Oh. It feels like, you want to see your family again?
Yeah.
It's
not a show.
I experienced this recently and it was interesting because the host slash producers were like, did the thing where they like they crowdsourced from the comedians there, like if they yes. want to do it, and I don't want to tell you how to run your show.
Yes,
like it's like that's it's my pet peeve is like mm-hmm. I don't want to be the person who cancels it if like four other people are pumped for whatever reason, you know.
Yeah.
So we all kind of did the right. And then when they left, I was like, okay guys, yeah. what do we want to do? Like we unionized or something.
Sure. What did you guys end up deciding?
We did like a couple minutes of an open mic, yes. basically, which is fine. I don't care. I want to work on some stuff.
As a producer, when that happened, which has happened to me one time, and it was an off show because of a holiday, what I did was I told everyone there, I said, I'm more than happy to cancel the show. If you came here and wanted to work on something and want to use this as a mic, you're welcome to stay. If you don't, please leave, and we will rebook you yeah. on a better show yeah. later. It's not
did
ever.
People stay?
They were all like, no, we're good to leave. And I was like, great. It's fine. Yeah. You know? So I just want to give people the option to use their time if they want to. I'll sit here by myself and listen to your jokes if you want. But if you really just go home.
I think that's the answer. Yeah. But also less time. Like 4 minutes. Yeah. Like not yeah. like 10 minutes to no one is like so embarrassing.
That becomes unfair because it might be like there's like a little bit of like, okay, we're here for you. For like the first person who goes up for 10 minutes and then by yeah. like the third person people are like, I don't want to do this anymore. So yeah. then it's like a weird, not that it's like the hottest room that you missed out on, but I think producers assume that that they're going to let us down.
Yeah.
But don't worry. We get it. We'd rather be rebooked on a show
right.
where there's people than just do this.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
We
haven't
wasted our time. Like we chose to come out here. It's right. fine. Yeah.
All right, let's do another one. Okay. Or does anybody else have one that they saw that they really want to talk about?
Oh, yeah.
God damn it, Bingo.
This one. Okay, so this all kind of goes into one. As a performer, give me a sense of when you expect me to be on stage. If doors are at 7, show's at 7:30, but I'll be on between 8 and 8:30. Please try to tell me that. Assume people are doing more than one show and that your show is not the only thing in their life that night. I try to show some respect, but I'm trying mm-hmm. to write, get on stage, and have a healthy relationship with a person mm-hmm. that works 9 to 5, and I am not on board with this.
No, I'm not on board at all.
Oh, because that was mine. No, I'm totally kidding.
I totally disagree.
I like the first part.
Yeah, I think a sense of it, but there's also flexibility.
I don't like when somebody says show at 7 and the show starts at 7:30 and they knew that.
Oh, that's different. I think that's
totally
different.
Agree.
They want to know like club style.
Oh, your set's at 8:10. Yeah. Yeah. But I think the first part was like that is so common. I really prefer if it's 15 minutes that's fine, but if your show if doors are at 7 and the show's at 7:30, like it actually starts at 7:30, please tell me that.
Oh right. Yeah. If the doors are different than showtime, fine.
That's different.
However, yeah. if I know my show starts at about 8:40 every week and you want to know if you're going towards the end of the show or the beginning, well that changes based on the energy of the room, of the audience, you know, I can't know that
other
ahead of time.
Being late.
Other comics being
getting
late.
Caught in traffic, like
right
like, yeah. circumstances you kind of can't control. Oh, I just got offered to do this other show. Is okay if I actually go early right yeah. now and I can jet out? I'm so sorry, you know. And you're like, well, I can't because now I've promise this person this thing? Like,
yeah, 9:15. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's flexibility.
Sure. I know you're a good producer because you were like, I might change the lineup based on the energy
right
in the room, which
I
is
do that
like
last minute all the time. I tell people great. You might be next, but if this next person doesn't go well, because sometimes we'll book people who are very odd, you know, and the audience can either love them or they can really hate them. And I need to know, I need to watch how that happens before I put somebody who we maybe are a little more unsure of next, because two dead spots back to back are going to kill your show.
Yeah, I think if like that, the thing that I read is like an issue for you, then choosing to do Brooklyn bar shows is not for you.
It's not.
Do you know what I mean?
Or like, you need to Uber, or you need to find a way to get to your shows quicker if you really have to, if you have a time crunch.
Yeah, and I'm being like obviously harsh on that, but I just mean that things are so up in the air.
Right. Well, but we're also assuming that the producer's doing their job well, which maybe this person is not taught, you know? So,
sure.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I do hate it when I get to a show and let's say it's the only thing I have to do that night. First of all, if you have other shows, that's fine. Just tell the producer that you have other shows.
I don't think it's on me as a producer to assume you have multiple shows.
No,
in the
absolutely not. That's on the performer. But, like, I hate getting to a show, it's starting super late, then going for 2 hours and I'm last and I'm like, okay,
yeah.
I've been at this bar for 3 fucking hours now to do an 8-minute spot. Like, just let's be reasonable.
Yeah,
you know?
I think there's reasonableness and I think that this like veers on that, but it also sort of veers on making everything convenient around your schedule as a as the person who was booked on the show. And I don't know that it's always, it's not so simple as telling, like sometimes like, for the most part, shows that I go to, like I don't really know the lineup until I walk in the door, unless I've requested like, hey, I need to go early or I need to go late.
Right. Yeah.
And so like, I just show up to a show when it starts if I can, and then I figure it out. And I don't know. There's something about like, hey, I have this whole other life and you got to tell me exactly when I'm going on stage every single time.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's not really.
It's
right.
not really.
Although
realistic.
I do have to say, if I do get put up on a show early and I have shows every night that week and I don't have anything after that,
home.
I'm probably going home.
I go home.
I'm not staying for the whole thing.
I don't fault anyone who leaves after their set. And that is something that I really want people to know right now about me if you're ever on one of my shows.
Same.
Leave after your set. I don't care because I have an audience. But you can stay and hang out, but I have an audience. I don't need you to be my audience.
Right.
And it's not like this is a mic, you know?
Also,
go.
If I don't have an audience, that's my fault.
Right.
Exactly. It's not on you to stick around and be my audience.
It's okay. Like, you can... I'm totally
absolutely.
The same way. I
go
like,
home. Go to bed.
Right.
Go need sleep.
Go do bed. Your life.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
I also, on the flip side of that, I also, like, when I know I don't have anything after that show, I always, like, tell the producer, like, no, I'll go up whenever you need me. I'll go first,
same.
I'll go up last, like, whatever you want. And it sucks when you're waiting around forever, but, like, you gotta take it
absolutely.
Sometimes.
I think it's good karma.
It is.
Like, if you can, I almost always am like, I am a leaf on the wind for you. Like, if I don't have a...
Yeah, that's why you're always first on every show. Chris Caligero has first disease. Everyone just looks at him and, like, they're like, you're first.
You know why? I have to tell people all the time, my first person is always going to be my most likable person on a lineup.
That's
and
really,
you're insanely
so
likable.
Oh, thank you,
I'm
think
not
going to
go out there and start just making people miserable. And that's something that sometimes people want to take, you know... way crazy risk
it's
just always somebody you come on stage and your presence is likable.
That's nice.
That's why you're a firster.
I mean, I don't mind it.
It is kind of, I mean, that's
why.
I think that's true.
That's why.
I think for a while I was like, bum, but I realize like now that it is like a, sort of a badge of honor. So
yeah, it's not a slight. I always tell my first person, I need you to go first because I know you'll do well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you don't want somebody that sucks in that spot. Okay, let's do a question.
Yes.
My first question is, how do I advertise without being annoying on Facebook?
Don't advertise on Facebook.
Do you not advertise on Facebook?
So we've done a lot of research with actually asking our crowds, and we've found that Facebook actually doesn't bring us many people.
Interesting.
It does bring us
All your shows or Bitches Brew you're talking about?
All of them.
Okay.
Facebook brings me the least results. We don't ever pay for advertisement. Most of my shows are usually packed or close to sold out with the promo that we do.
Yeah.
And it has very little to do. We never pay for advertisements online and we never really promote online. I will do promotion the day of the show and once a week out. But it's not an everyday thing because I've seen that that doesn't bring me any higher yields turnout, in my turnout in my crowd than doing it once a week before and once the day of.
So instead of, that's interesting because I, as much as I hate Facebook, mm-hmm. I've been using it and mm-hmm. I've been paying for promo, just to get the word out on shows for a mm-hmm. couple of years now. And I know a lot of other people do too. And I've heard Instagram is not, very good
right.
place
generating
to
people
your
out.
Money. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think Jenny Wolkowiak said that in her episode. But what do you do instead that is so effective?
Having relationships with media is important to start building those relationships. Those bring me out the most. One, I would say, first of all, the whole no Facebook thing is not a rule of thumb for everybody. I know that doesn't work in my venues, which are mostly Brooklyn specific. Mm-hmm. I would say do everything once. Ask everybody in your crowd, you know, if you can on their way out, ask them where they heard about the show mm-hmm. and then focus your energy on the places you're hearing the most, you know, and really build relationships with those places. Like for me, I know the Skent brings out.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Skent brings out so many people.
And I know the guy who does it. Yeah, shout out to Chris at the Skent. He does amazing things, helps us with alternate promotions when he gets like other tickets somewhere or something. So he really has helped us out a lot. You build those relationships.
Wait, what does that mean? Like alternate promotions?
Like if he gets tickets to another event nearby, we can raffle them off to our audience or something.
So
like cross promoting his shows. Just working and really building those relationships and being honestly and sincerely grateful when you get listed somewhere.
Yeah.
I think that is something that's missing from a lot of people's promotion.
Yeah. I think people don't even know to list places sometimes.
Are we starting that basic?
Yeah.
We could say
I mean
basic.
I think some people don't. I mean,
no, for sure.
I think if
no,
you're yeah. I think if you're like I think if you're wondering how to advertise without being annoying on Facebook, I think you're probably more steps behind than you realize.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, because it is so important to get those media listings and to realize that there's a person on the other end of the email that you're sending out.
Sure.
Being like, I'm a 27-year-old who's just trying to make it through the day. Make this easy for me. Also, how are you going to stand out? Like we've talked about on the show, like book credits, blah, blah, blah.
Always.
Like,
I thought you were going to say book credits.
Credits,
sure,
add credits. Yeah. Add credits next to people's names when you send them to listings.
Yes. Yeah.
Don't.
Names are just letters.
Names are just names.
They're just
letters
nobody knows
next to
them. Each other.
Honestly,
just letters.
People don't know who John Mulaney
anything.
Is.
Like, yeah.
No right. Knows. No, you, I mean, that's enough. That's. Yeah, I think that's so true. It's like we're in the bubble where John Mulaney is like Barack Obama.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like we assume he's
nobody
like the most,
knows who that is.
But like your dads
of,
don't really know who John Mulaney is. I was going to say, I think it's not as harsh as like when somebody's like, hey, what's the address for this place? And you're like, just Google it. You know what I mean? But it is similar to that where I believe like in any city, like if you just Google like
comedy
nightlife comedy listings, like
what
you'll find
first.
Places
yeah.
And like I threw my Poop Your Pants show in Chicago
sure
and was able to get listed in like the Chicago Tribune's like night out section with like a picture and like an online part, and I think there was a hard copy but we missed picking it up
I think it was the red eye
and it's like yeah you can find that and like honestly like if you reach out and you're kind and you have like a good show and like you
you're
do
organized
it,
you have all the information they need.
Do you want to explain what Poop Your Pants show
sure.
is?
Sure. I have a show called Uh-Oh Stories from People Who Poop Their Pants, and it's sponsored by Squatty Potty, which is also very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have comedians come on and tell stories about times they poop their pants, and then have audience members write about times they poop their pants, and they can win Squatty Potty swag that
is amazing.
Sent to me.
I love it. I want one.
And it's, I mean, I've run the show four times, I believe. And we've had great crowds for every
I've
show.
Heard.
And also like I got, you know, in the Brooklyn paper, I got like a front page picture, and I have this
amazing.
Picture of me
on
like
the
on
toilet.
The toilet in our apartment that like will always pop up now. Like I'll send that to media, and that's like a evocative picture that they that has been run in like a lot of outlets.
That's amazing. That's so
cool.
And also like, yeah, but I mean like reach out to these places and just say, I have this great show. Here's a concise mm-hmm. description. Here's who's on it. Here's when it is. Will you list it? The worst thing that can happen is they don't list it.
Yeah. And I think that, if you're expecting that to put it on Facebook, that your friend, that your comedian friends are going to fill up the audience, that is not where you should start.
Right.
You should email your real friends. If you're just getting started in comedy, email your real friends if you still have any of those.
Don't run a show.
I
get it.
It really gave me momentum when I started comedy. I started my show Back Fat 6 months into comedy, and it's 6 years old now. And for the first like 6 months, we just filled it out with people that were my friends.
Right.
And then we started to learn how to talk to media and book credits and all that stuff. And but I feel like we wouldn't have gotten the good momentum without filling it up with friends. But yeah, you don't want to be reliant on other comedians to be your audience. I think you should be really trying to reach people and giving them the lineups that reach people.
Sure. And one quick practical tip is to always create an Eventbrite for your event, because when you search for things, Eventbrite is going to populate first before a lot of other sources.
I love Eventbrite, and I think it makes people feel weirdly comfortable with your show because they're like, I have reserved a ticket.
Yep.
And people operate that way. We forget that normal people like to know that their seat is reserved.
Cool. Should we go to, do you want to read another pet peeve?
Yep. I got one that says it's got 40 likes.
Oh, that's the big one. That's the one that had the most.
It says, as a producer, when a comic addresses the size of the crowd while on stage, the comics may perceive it as small, but the audience has no clue, especially when the show is going well. It can change the tone of the show.
That is true.
Totally true.
Oh, like when
somebody's
there's
10 people here, fuck this show.
Yeah.
And then you're like, you feel like an idiot as the audience, you're getting yelled at. It's terrible.
Also, it makes the, you just literally said fuck you to those 10 people.
Yeah, like we're not important enough for you. I was on a show the other day where 3 people had showed up to the show, right? And I am not at a point in my career where I can snub at any show that I'm on. And the producer of the show apologized to me when I got there. And I looked at him and I said, I am just lucky that of the millions of comedians in this city, you thought of me to be on this show. There are 3 people. I'm happy to perform to them. You know, it's a new show. He's only been doing it twice. I was like, if anybody gives you shit because you only have 3 to 4 people in that crowd, tell them to go fuck themselves. Because honestly, you thought of them, of a million people, you thought to book them. And that is kindness enough. Like, honest to God. Like, that's what I think.
But there are some people that are getting thought of by everybody all the time because they're famous. And
that's different. And they're on a tier with credits. I get that. But for me, or somebody who's like, doesn't have like these insane credits, hasn't done like, you know, I'm not on Comedy Central, I'm not on Late Night, you know. It's 4 people. I'm not going to get up on stage and shit on your show. And I think that's what he was really saying, was like, he was worried about me going up there and being... somebody being mean to him about it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, no matter what, you should never be mean to the producer about it. Just...
yeah. No, it sucks. I hate shitting on the room and hate shitting on the audience in the room. It's like...
you like ruin their night.
Yeah. And also like then it just, to me, that always snowballs because like you start out shitting on the room, then the people are like, okay. And then you're going and now you're bombing and you're like, well, I told you this room. So it's like, well, no, like
it's your insecurity.
Who should like you?
Yeah.
You just are... yeah, it's very unlikable.
I think within the time that I recorded the last podcast and... oh, great. Now she's barfing. I think that within the time that I recorded the last podcast and this podcast, I threw the worst show I've ever thrown. And it was the lowest attended show I've ever thrown. And one of my favorite comedians and my boss, Ophira Eisenberg, was on the show, but she wasn't my boss yet. She's so great. And I was fucking mortified that like 10 people were in the audience. And I was like, this never happened. I'm so sorry. And she was just like, no problem. And like, she's got a kid, she's got things to do. And she just like, she just like worked on new jokes. And I was so grateful that she didn't lord it over me or say anything mean, or like, I still feel terrible about it, but I'm like, oh my God, I don't throw shows like this. What is this? I don't know what happened. I seriously, to this day, do not know what happened.
But you're going to remember that forever.
How gracious she was about it forever.
And I want people to know that like when we started Brew, we did not have consistent audiences. Mm-hmm. And now we do. And we remember, all of us remember, and we actually might, may or may not have a list of people who were really shitty to us when we started the show.
Smart.
Who were mean to us.
I was just
don't book them.
Yeah, I was just going to say like sometimes like you're forced to deal with accredited comedian who's an ass.
Yeah.
And
well, I'm never forced, but yes.
I mean, not forced, but you know what I mean? Like, no, you feel like you're like, okay, like other producers can talk you into it or whatever, but like that's a very high level. And for the most part, not many people are there. And so, yeah, I won't. Why would I book you?
I don't book you. You're a monster to me.
Like, I don't.
I really agree with that.
Yeah. Like, why would I book you? It's just like you're. I always say, like, when you're a comic, until you hit a certain level, like, all you have is your name. And, like, once you, like, drag that shit through the mud in front of people enough times, like, I don't know. And also,
we're just bar shows, but it's like, still, that, you know, one day I may not be. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's, you never know who you're. Who you're shitting on. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so. That's what I was going to say is like, you have people, like you're a bar show, but then you might have a TV show. And then it's like, okay, your choice is between this person who you love and like killed on your shows a bunch and they're great. And then this person who actually is very, very funny, but guess what? They're an asshole and they shit on your show constantly. And every time you saw them, they were mean to people that you like. Yeah. So guess who's getting the job?
Right.
Yeah. I kept booking this one performer on my show and I just want to get famous or like make something great so that I can be like, you can't be on it because she keeps insulting me and insulted me so bad a couple months ago.
Oh my God.
And it was so fucking mean. And like after I got off stage and I introduced her and it actually was just like past the point of like silly. And I'm like, nah, you're fucking out of here. Anyway.
Oh, no, we have actually we are very petty on Brew. And I want people to know this.
It's not petty, though.
No. We can be, though. And honestly, there are too many comedians for if any one of us. We have a rule because there's four female producers of that show. Mm-hmm. We have a rule that if anybody in the past has made us slightly uncomfortable, we do not have to give the other people a reason. We can just say, don't book them, you know? And that's, I think, what has contributed to a lot of our success is saying there does not have to be a reason. And if we hear from other women in the community that this person has been uncomfortable with them, we don't have to book that person either.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think that's great.
And there are just too many good people to book to ever make compromises.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially in New York. I mean, like, you know,
we have new every day.
Could I just go to another question before? And sure. Do you have a pet
sorry,
peeve?
Sorry, I know
out?
We're going.
No.
No, this is great. I mean, I feel like this is,
we're
you
ranting
know,
and raving. No,
we are.
Question.
We all, oh my God, doesn't this feel cathartic? This is great.
I feel like we're not giving enough advice, though.
I know, but I think like the overarching advice is also like
we need to all be cooking.
Don't be an asshole. Like, don't be mean. Don't like go in like you're hot shit everywhere that you walk. And also reach out and ask people.
So in the vein of trying to give advice, let's do some of these questions. Okay. What is the optimal length and comedian count for a show?
Yes.
Does anyone want to take this?
Who wants to
I mean, I will
me?
Say I will say that your max length should be 90 minutes, and that's pushing
yes,
it.
That's
like
pushing
it to the brink that's of it. And like, I know I've had a couple of Not Quite Midnights, which is my variety show, that we've overbooked in a way that we didn't realize we were overbooking because we stuff it with a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's
a lot of like banter on your show, so it's harder to predict.
Yeah, and I know as we start inching over 75 minutes, I can feel
the audience.
Well, I can feel myself.
Oh yeah.
And my collar getting hot. Tired. I'm just worried that they're going to all of a sudden be like, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes they are.
Yeah. But 75 to 90 minutes.
Yeah. I always say hour 15 is our sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
If we go over that by 5 minutes, it starts to feel too long.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm starting to feel tired with somebody, I light people before their time. That's something that's a personal preference
Whoa.
Of mine, which is, yeah.
Damn,
which
harsh, babe. Love feel, it.
If somebody's not doing well on a stage, just because you told them 10 does not mean you have to give them 10.
So what would you do if somebody was just bombing their dick off?
I light them.
At like 5?
We'll light them at 5 and they'll go to 6, usually. Yeah.
And then will they be like, I'm so sorry? Or
no, sometimes
what?
They'll apologize and they'll say, hey, it's fine. They weren't jiving with you tonight. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be mean to the person. It's fine. I might even try them again, but I need to move on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I give them enough time to try to recover. I never just say, oh no, that was a bad joke. Let's go. But if it's 5 or you're like, oh, and I'm just getting started. Somebody was telling a really bad bit that was not going well. They had done 3 minutes on it and they were like, oh, I'm just getting started. And I lit them because I was like, well, I can't let you keep going with this. You know, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's just... I think it's going to be 10 minutes.
Was it a man or a woman?
It was a woman, unfortunately. But yes, sorry, what was the question again?
optimal length.
And comedian length is 5.
Important, though. I think
like 5.
I book 5, and then if somebody drops in, we have a space for it. And if somebody asks us last minute and needs 5 minutes, we get them in.
What do you? And you have one host, and is one of those five?
Don't do two hosts unless you guys are best friends in the world and you map it out beforehand.
And the most talented people.
The most talented people on God's green earth.
In here.
But I think lighting. I was going to say lighting people before their time is an underrated thing. And when a bomb is happening, because like you're actually saving that person.
Yes, I don't want to be up there for 20 minutes. Eating it at 15.
Yeah.
I've never done that before.
I lit a kid who was bombing into Jersey City Comedy Festival.
It's usually newer people.
I was just like, you need help.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, it was just, it was hard to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and that's like a true bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? There's a difference between somebody not doing well for a bit of their set, which absolutely. I can usually judge. So I'm saying that I don't just light people when they start to dip.
Yeah.
I light them if, one, I don't know them well enough to trust them to dig out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or two, if it's not a dip, we had one guy who told all these bits about a certain animal that they were not into. And that was his whole set. That was his whole gimmick. And so I lit him at 5. So we can't do it. It's
do
not
people
fair
ever get mad
comedians.
At you, though?
I've never had anybody get mad at me to my face.
Yeah.
I don't know that people really... Somebody who I really feel... A lot of times it's newer comedians, and I don't think they're able to judge time that well.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't really know the difference between 8 and lighting them at, like, 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Sure, so sure. That hasn't been a real issue. But, no, I've never had anybody get mad because I think they understood.
So
I think 5 is a sweet spot as well, too.
I like 5. Yeah.
5 is great.
Yeah, we ratcheted down not quite midnight so that we gave away... we always have like... Because we like to run it like a fake talk show, so we have an announcer, and they just do a warm-up set, and then they hang out with us on stage, but we count that as like...
A set
now, mm-hmm. whereas we used to book 5 and...
Do that.
And have the announcer.
And your music game.
Mm-hmm. And our music game. So now we just have 4 comedians in the lineup and the announcer. I just did air quotes for the... Mm-hmm. We're not taping this, right? and so then we're like at 5, and I feel like we're in a good place.
It's a good place.
Yeah. You book 5, and then you, because you only have one host and you don't have to fill it, you have room for...
One person performs and one person hosts.
Okay, so that's 20 minutes.
Yeah,
there.
But we'll cut down one of our times if we have somebody that we really want to give more time to.
Okay.
That's our time, the way we structure it. But we also structure those 5 people as 2 killers, 2 people with big credits who mm-hmm. we know are going to crush,
mm-hmm.
1 drop-in set saved for out of town or somebody who's new,
mm-hmm.
and then 1 middle set, okay. somebody who's consistent but maybe doesn't have like the credits or the name.
Got it.
So those are our 5.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, more of us.
Mm-hmm. Should we do one more question and then we'll do pet peeves?
Yeah, let's go.
We have so many questions. How much should a host be paid? Good question. It depends on what you're doing. At the clubs in New York City, the hosts will get paid between $50 and $100 for doing their work.
It depends on if you're in a smaller scene. In New York, a lot of times hosts are doing this pro bono.
Yeah, I don't know.
It depends on if you're collecting... if you're collecting ticket money, then I would say they need to make anywhere between... They need to make like a good 15% of... that door. That's what I really think. A 15% is fine. If they did also producing it,
yeah, producing,
that's
yeah.
gonna add on to that right, significantly right. So it does depend on what they're doing.
Yeah, I think it's really obviously our thing is the pay is so sliding scale constantly. Yeah.
So sliding scale,
so it's like producer's discretion. I mean, I think 15% is a good guideline.
Yeah.
But like, it also depends.
Tickets,
like, of like, you're selling tickets. Are you collecting tips at the end? Are you
tips at the end? We give our hosts 20 off the top because they also produce, so they're doing 2 jobs.
Right.
Great.
And then we split the rest between everybody else. And then if everybody's split is more than 20 per person, they'll get a little bit more.
Right.
But it's 20 off the top because they produced it all. They showed up. They set up the room.
Yeah,
right, at least right. deserve 20 bucks.
Yeah,
right.
You guys
usually
have
make
like
about 100, 150.
A good system in place.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people don't have that system. So it's like, if you
let's
if
say
you brought
it's
somebody
my
on the host,
show, and but I'm not hosting it, I'm just producing it,
right.
and we make $100, and there's me and 5 comics, and I'm just one of the comics, but also the producer, and one of the 5 is hosting. What do you do?
I would give the host the same amount as the other people.
You would just give them like like $10 to everyone and then $50 to me?
No. Well, I always lowball myself, but I'd probably take 30 if I performed and produced.
Yeah.
And then the rest would be split.
Evenly. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
I would give like a smidge. We always have this issue at Rose Gold because like I just, if there's extra, I usually just give that to the host.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So if there's like $70, number. I might give like, I might whatever, like, I don't know.
The remainder, you just give
12, just give the remainder. So like $12 to everybody and then 16 to the host, sure, or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. But that's a bar show. That's our idea for a bar show. Yeah. Obviously,
If you brought somebody in a host, just give them a little extra.
Yeah. Yeah. Give them a little extra.
A few extra dollars.
Cool. You want to do a pet peeve?
Sure. Okay. So this one I agree. When a comics joke doesn't land and they blame the audience, almost always saying either fuck you, that was funny, or oh, not a blank crowd, huh?
This is an amateur, though. This is shit that happens at a level that I wouldn't even book you at.
Yeah.
Dude, this is shit that happens at the Comedy Cellar.
Oh, really?
I feel like, you're not a jack off in front of people. Yeah.
Or like you guys don't read the news, and it's like, no, we read the news. Your joke just wasn't good.
I've seen really accomplished comedians say that shit. But the audience is always right. Mistake.
It's not
such a mark of insecurity.
But it's a mark of insecurity. It has nothing to do. They're doing that. It's a tick. It's like saying too much. It's something they do out of a knee-jerk response.
Yeah.
And you've got to train yourself to get out of that, because it really, when I hear that, I'm like, oh, okay.
Like, I just turn my brain off. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, I'm off you. Like,
yeah,
I'm it's dead. Also like, oh, you're not a blank. Those are the people who say that are also the same people who are quick to be like, oh, you guys got to write a better joke. And you're like, well, you're insecure about anything that doesn't land. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. How about... How do you deal with people that you don't want to book for spots? People you don't want to book asking for spots. Should you respond to every Facebook message, even if it is to say no? What do you guys think?
I think you don't have to respond to every Facebook message.
I think it depends on how many you're getting. If you can respond, you can. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you are getting so many, you don't have to respond. You know, it's really up to you. No, you don't owe anybody a response because they asked. But if you don't want to.
I think it's, it also is person to person. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, if somebody is like a total monster person.
Oh, if it's a creep, I don't respond.
What I mean. Like, that's a person you don't owe a response to. And obviously have proven themselves as disrespectful people. So it's like, whatever. I don't know, like, if you get a lot of them, like, you get inundated. I know, like, you guys, I'm sure, get inundated.
I am in and fucking dated.
We had to create a system for this, but one we did, I just want to say real quick, we just got a message to the page the other day that said, who produces this?
Cool.
That was the, and we were like, do not respond. We immediately were like, do not respond to that. Yeah. It is in the description of our show.
Right.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Because then if they were following up that with an ask, no, that doesn't deserve a response. But for us, what we do is we created a system where we send everybody to the page, no matter if it's somebody we do want to book or not.
I've been doing that too.
Yeah. So that it's anonymous. It doesn't fall on any of us to say no in particular. But if somebody is persistent and they keep messaging us, we'll say, we don't think you're a right fit right now. Maybe in a few months, if you get a new tape, you could try again.
I think that's really smart, because I think too many people don't realize how their face gets branded as the face of no.
Of no, yeah.
Yeah.
We're kind about it. Don't get high horsey and be like, you want to do my show? Well, maybe in a few years, idiot.
Yeah. It's the inherent back and forth, right? Like, give and take of, like, you don't ask questions in the world that you're not prepared to hear both answers to. So, like, you can't also be that way when... You can't just assume because you ask for something in comedy, you get it.
I want people to know also that when I book a show, I think of people who I think are better than me. So if you're like, oh, I'm as good as you at comedy, or I'm better than you at comedy, like, you need to be better than me for me to book you. That's what I think. That's my rule of thumb.
That's a humble thing, and that is how we started booking Back Fat 6 years ago. Yeah. And I mean, everybody was better than me, to be honest.
But I'm thinking. But if you're looking at my lineup and you are a year into comedy, and you're asking me, how do you get on our show? My response is going to be, get up on stage more, go to open mics, come back when you have a tape. Like, I'm just be realistic. Don't make me say no to you. Be realistic about where you are at comedy right now and do the shows at your level. And then build yourself up to, you know, if shows are booking bigger names, just be realistic about it. If that is a lineup you see yourself on.
Or start a show.
That would be so helpful.
Start a show. Start your own show. Get your own stage time. Do your friend shows. Go hang out there. They'll put you up. Like, I think, but one thing I was going to say is, like, I think it'd be really funny if the person was who was like, who produces this was, like you said, the names. And they're like, cool.
Yeah. They just really wanted to know genuinely.
I think to this person's question, it's sending them to the page is a really good
create
solution.
Create a fan page for yourself.
And, well, I mean, but to the show page.
That's like, what I mean, like, if you have a show.
So, like, with Side Ponytail, I can't, because I get so many more asks, I think, than my co-producers. I swear to God, my name is on a list somewhere. I get, like, 10 asks a day at least. Like, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's happening, and I feel bad that I can't respond to everybody right away. But I'm like, I don't know where my name is that, like, people just keep asking me for spots that I don't have to give.
Right.
But I send them to the page because it's not fair. I can't, even if I wanted to, it would be really mean for me to take the calendar away from all my co-producers. Like, that's not fair. Like, I can't just book up the whole show forever. No. Anyway, to a point that you said on this, I just wanted to bring up something that start your own show is a great way to get stage time and also, like, have something to give. But I also, I have, like, a pet peeve that somebody sort of brought up. Like, this person said, when I had my weekly, I would sometimes get a comic on. Then weeks later, they would ask for another spot. Around that time, I found out that they ran their own show and never asked me to do it. It's not about trading. It's about courtesy and common sense. So, yeah, if this goes on to be about their success rate, which, okay. But I agree that it's a weird thing because there's no such, I mean, spot trading is not good. But on the other hand, I don't know, just being a person, being nice about this stuff. Like, I had a guy who I put up on a show in Boston after the show come up and ask me to be on my show in Brooklyn and then try to spot trade it to my face for his show that no one goes to. And I was like, I blocked him on Facebook.
That's so funny. Yeah, I totally agree with the no spot trading. I would say that first and foremost, somebody has to be funny, and I don't care what you run.
Because
yeah.
It's inequitable.
If you are not funny, you are ruining my show, and I don't need to hurt my show for anybody. Book me all you want. I'm going to accept the spot every single time.
Yeah, without feeling
even
bad.
Even if I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
because
play the game.
Screw you. Yeah.
Right.
Because
now. Not all spots are equal.
Somebody asked me for a, like, they were like, hey, want a spot trade? And they run a show at a shitty club in Manhattan that I, like, would never, I don't even, like, want to perform there. And I was like, oh, you mean the show that I run at Union Hall that I work my ass off to promote? Mm-hmm. Like, dozens of hours every month? No. Also, I don't know who you are. What? I'm fucking funny.
Yeah, I think there's a fine line. It's like, you can't, like,
book funny people.
Yeah, but you can't, like, be constantly asking for shows and have a show that you don't book somebody on. I do see their point in a way.
About that.
Like, it's like, well, you can't be thirsty and then also, like, have some water that you won't give out.
Mm-hmm. You know? And that's also why we reserve that drop-in spot for if somebody has given us all time on their show, they are funny, just not necessarily up to the level of show quite yet, we'll give them 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. And if they're tanking at four, I like them at four. But it's, you know,
give them a shot.
So. Yeah.
And I mean, that's, like, the great part of comedy. That's what I love about producing comedy. Mm-hmm. And you have a spot reserved for, like, middle people. Like, if you just book all credits, like, you're not really, like, helping the community in any way.
Yeah,
like,
you're not building people.
And, like, the first time that you get a show that you're excited about is, like, a very good moment when you're like, oh my god, am I ready for this? I'm so nervous. I'm excited. I've never performed to a real audience before like this. And I don't know, I really love giving people that opportunity for the first time the way other people gave you that opportunity.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Anyway, all right. Do you have a pet peeve you want to read?
I've seen a couple. I think. But when people go away over their time, even after acknowledging the light, when you see the lights start wrapping up, don't complain that you hadn't even gotten halfway into your story, and then proceed to tell the rest of it. Anyway, I'm a fucking light.
You're very good at the light
person. Monster. I have no patience for light burners. It will retroactively make me dislike your set.
Oh, yeah.
If you burn the light, like, I don't care. I I came up doing comedy in like the West Village at a club at the Comedy Village, and like got hauled off stage a few times for like going over time or even bombing and getting the light early, and like came off stage, and like I have like this healthy fear and respect of the light, and will apologize if I felt I went over or like ask people if it was okay or am I all right. Mm-hmm. But like you, that sure. is to me like one of the most disrespectful yeah. things to do on a comedy
show. Does it happen to you guys a lot?
No, we have such, I was going to say, we have such a strong vetting process for who, like we, a light burning in the past is something for us to never book you mm-hmm. here. So we have such a strong vetting process for who we actually have on our stage that we very rarely have that. And if we do, they come off stage like, I did not see the first light. Yeah. They'll see me waving in the back.
You better come
and they're
off
like, I am so sorry. You know, or they'll look I at their that. Timer and be like, oh my God, I went three over. Yeah. Like, you know, yeah. and the best comedians are the ones who always, if they do it, they apologize and they're like, and the best comedians usually always stick right to their time. So
yeah,
yeah. I think
we got in the interest of time.
Oh, sure.
Can we just go through the rest of these questions? Okay, we've got a couple, three more questions, and then we'll wrap it up.
Let's rock 'em.
If you have weak comedians on the lineup, for instance, the club gives you several you have to book.
Yeah.
Should you put the good comics up first so as not to walk the audience, or do you have to end with the better comics? I like starting strong, but it feels crappy to peter out with bad comedians. This is an extension of the thing you guys were talking about before, about Chris being a friendly first.
Yeah. Pad your lineups. Do sandwich. One good person. Yeah. Sandwich it. First of all, is it a club or is it a bar?
Right.
With a stage. I would say that you... I definitely
think
this pad.
Person, I know who this person is. I think that they run a show at a club.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a club. So yeah, you
but
have to put them up.
Maybe not a higher echelon club.
Right. So sandwich. If you know those people are there, maybe as like almost like a bringer atmosphere, then you need to put somebody strong at the beginning, somebody strong in the middle, somebody strong at the end.
Yeah. Hide them. Like if hide you em. Can, like get a good set in and just like throw them in. And also
have jokes prepared as a host.
Right. Yeah. And like, if you have a crusher and they crush and they do their job, like run up, like do a quick fucking energy boost and then like bring that person right up so that they can kind of get in and see if they can ride that wave a little bit.
Yeah.
And then be prepared to when they're
done, maybe do like a minute or two or like try to bring the audience back and get everybody set again. But like, I think
same goes for bar shows though. Sometimes you have obligatory bookings and then they,
yeah.
tank and yeah.
It's just brutal when like the energy's high and the host comes on and like
kills it for a little bit then makes somebody who isn't that great go up
terrible.
There yeah give them that strong wave to ride. I really agree with that.
Yeah, okay, I totally agree. Next question. A couple of us were talking about tapes. Is it better to have a tape that features your straight material, or is it okay if there's riffing? Is there such a thing as too much riffing? Can it vary depending on the person I'm sending the tape to? I just got a hot new tape, but I'm a bit lucky. Of a comic that likes to go off the books, so there's a decent amount of improv and riffing, but part of me doesn't really care if I get rejected using the tape because I feel like it's the best mm-hmm. representation of me as a comic.
Okay.
This is something that we have talked about so much, Chris and I.
Yeah, I think you could tell from their question that they're like riffing.
Yeah, yeah. this comic is very funny and but very, very riffy.
Yeah, I'm the same. I have the same
you
problems.
Are, yeah, you have this. Yeah.
But I also know that it's
It
shouldn't be in a tape.
Oh, I don't care because I only watch 30 seconds of your tape anyway.
So, but that's the thing. I will never watch like a full tape.
I'm not
gonna
watch a full tape.
If it's you chatting, then it's not
good.
For
the first minute, whatever your first minute of your tape is,
it's
better be
good.
Yeah.
Because I am going to watch it from the beginning. I don't skip to the middle like some people do. I don't give you that chance. I want to see if, because you're not going to skip to the middle of your set when you get on my stage. So I'm going to watch the first minute. And if I'm checked out by that time, so will my audience.
But you can skip the riff part in your tape. Just go right to the joke.
Right.
Just go right to the joke.
I
don't care if a host introduces you. That I don't get that. I don't give
a
crap.
No, you should not have the host introduce you.
Yeah.
I think.
Just
cut it
to your
jokes. Cut it.
Yeah.
But also on this topic, it's so interesting to me because when we started dating, I was like 2-something years into comedy and I couldn't understand. And you have been doing it much longer. And I was like, I don't understand why you have this problem about getting tapes and this like riffing problem. And like, I think the longer you do comedy, the longer that, like, or the more you have this problem, because you find funny stuff in the room, and the joy and challenge of comedy is to, like, like, bring your material, but also live in the moment. Like, the best sets I've ever had are the ones, like, sometimes it's when I'm hosting and I'm just, like, weaving, and it's like, if you could see what I'm doing in my brain, I'm like weaving my material and with what's happening in the room, and if it works, it's like this beautiful thing, and it's magic, better. Yeah. It's magic. But like, it doesn't, it never shows in a tape.
Right. Don't let me know that you're sitting there riffing with somebody. Like, make it like very fluid if it happens. But I don't want to see your crowd interaction, because you may not have that crowd. You know what I mean?
Like, even if you have a good crowd interaction, so many like festivals are like, well, that could be, that's that crowd. You know, like,
exactly. Well, that's what they say. Like, on, that's what I've seen on guidelines for tapes where they don't want them. But like, I mean, I think those are the guidelines, so that's what you have to go by. But also, I think you can tell great crowd work from mediocre crowd work, or like hot crowd work. So I think, I mean, I wish there was more of an emphasis put on it, but I know that there's not.
There's not.
You know, like, you can tell when somebody, even on a tape, is like in that fucking room doing your thing.
But even if your audience in that tape is laughing, if I think that you're making them uncomfortable as part of your riff, then I'm not going to book you.
Right. That's what I mean. You know that.
If you're doing well with that riff, I know that I don't want you doing that to my audience.
Right.
So, but you know that. That's
so, so you may think it's a hot tape, but stay away from it. It's way trickier than.
So do your jokes, buddy. Yeah. Just do the jokes. Unfortunately, I know it sucks, because I love to riff. I'm a riffer too. Same. And so is Chris. And it's really hard to get a tape. It's hard. But I think just the jokes. How, are you good on time? Are you okay?
Are they
standing outside the door? Okay. Let's see. Last question in here. The one question that plagues me while I've been trying to start a show is, how do you go about finding a bar and location, the right bar location? I feel like there's a plethora of bars just saturated in weekly comedy shows around the city. So I've made a real effort to try and find some untainted by comedy bar, but it just seems like an impossible task. How do you guys get your shows?
Okay. Can I just say, first of all, before you start a show, know that there are tainted bars for a reason. It's because people who have never started a show before start it, and they run something shitty, and they ruin a bar for the entire scene.
Yeah, it's true.
A great bar for the entire scene. So before you even start the show, just think, are you prepared to put all of the work that's necessary into it? Finding a location can't really help you. I've always jumped on board when people already had a location. So, sorry.
I'm good at finding locations.
Yes,
but here's why. Because I'm a party animal.
Yeah.
And because I lived in New York City through a lot of my 20s without doing comedy. And I just literally went to bars every night because I'm fun. Mm-hmm. So, like, I had a lot of places in my head when I was the first one to start a show at this place called 61 Local in Cobble Hill. And my friend worked at the bar, and I was there when the bar opened, and I was there when they opened their event space. And
definitely.
So, and then the same thing happened with Rose Gold up in Bushwick. Like, my friends that I used to go drinking with and play softball with, friends opened a bar and they like introduced me. And it's like, so I think part of it is honestly, like, if you want to scout, and like, I don't know, some of the bars that are saturated with comedy, they are because the bars are very good to them. Like, Friends and Lovers in Crown Heights is so wonderful. They do promotions for us.
There's a reason that they, I mean, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a bad thing. But if you really want to be different and be unique, I would look up online bars that have private spaces and go and get drunk there.
Yeah,
honestly.
Hang out there before you go ask. Don't just walk up to a bartender and ask them to do a show there.
Yeah, go hang. But like, also, like, check out, do they do shows? And like, go to a show and see if people even give a shit about the space that you're talking about. Cause like, some places like don't have a reputation for shows. And so like, you might start out behind the eight ball of a place that like has no rep, and then there's all that pressure on you, and then you fuck it up, like you said, and then it's over.
You're done for the whole scene.
Yeah. You could also check out their Instagram to see if they're promoting their other events. Maybe they have mostly music.
Check out their social, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, for me, I'm just kind of like,
make sure there's a room.
I like to go drinking. And I think that's a great way of finding cool spots.
But like, find a room, like, if you can, find a room that's separate from the bar.
Oh, we're recording.
So anyway, get a back room.
Get a back room.
So, wait, I can't hear anything. Why is that?
Oh, it's probably because you're not plugged in.
You're not plugged in.
That might be the, please, our producer, cut this. Get a back room.
Okay. So what just happened? We filled up the SD card. Now we're back, but yeah, we have to wrap this podcast up. One quick thing I don't think we got quite, I'm not sure if we got to the bottom of. The person who said, should you respond to every Facebook message, even if it's to say no? I do think that if you're also a comedian, just for karma reasons, you probably should. And sometimes it takes me a long time because I get so many messages. But I do think that you should say, like, hey, thanks so much. Like, Shelby says that she sometimes says, like, hey, this is good, but it's not quite right for our room. You can also say, like, I'm going to put you on a list. Yeah, there's that thing, which is annoying to get. But
we actually do have a list, too. So I don't think it's always lying. Yeah,
I keep a list. Same. I keep a list. Not everybody. I don't put everybody on the list.
On the list, yes.
But I do keep a list of people that I want to book. And those people include a lot of the people that reach out to me.
Yes.
And I have been told I'll put you on the list and then booked. So it's not necessarily a catch-all for shitty comics.
Exactly.
Check my list twice.
Yeah. So, okay. So there's that. But then we also, I think we got through all the questions. We got through 1% of the pet peeves.
Yeah,
but we got
to
sign
peeves
off. We got to end it here. This is a long podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you felt that this was cathartic and learned something and had a blast. Shelby, where can people find you in the world and on the internet?
You can find my show Bitches Brew at Bitches Brew on Bitches Brew Comedy on Twitter. I'm also myself, Shabby Trailer on Twitter, and Shelby Lee Taylor on Instagram.
Leigh.
Nice.
All right. And Chris Akil.
You can find me at chriscaligero.com, where I have all my shows and some clips. Ooh. And then I'm at RealChrisCal on Twitter and Instagram, all the things. And I have a show called Not Quite Midnight with a fan page that you can like. And that's it.
A podcast.
Nice. And a podcast called Morning Coffee. All episodes are on iTunes and new episodes are in the works.
MOUR. It's about grief.
Boop.
Okay, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Later.
Thanks for listening to How to Produce Live Comedy. If you like this show, please rate and review us on iTunes and or Venmo us at Emily-Winter. That's my Venmo. I'm not going to start a Patreon because it's just a limited series podcast, but your dollars do help because it costs some money to run this podcast. What else? You can find me at emilywintercomedy.com. You can find photos of the shows I produce on brainmachinenetwork.com. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at emilymcwinter. It's Emily McWinter. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this podcast.